Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, May 27th, 2025. I am really happy to be here. This is the last show in May, which is just amazing how quickly that month went. But I'm happy to say that the sun is shining here in Denver. Boy, we had 3 days. Yeah, yesterday was Monday. I'm in a blur. We had 3 days of rain, and I mean thunderstorms and pouring down rain on Sunday. It was just incredible. It started Saturday afternoon, and then it rained Saturday afternoon, and then, like I said, just these wild thunderstorms with this blast of rain. There was like little pools outside my front door, you know, and almost a little, oh, it got so dark. It was kind of freaky the way it made me feel. And I love thunderstorms. I love it. But the pounding down rain was really a little disconcerting for me. Grace, nothing bothers her. The sirens, thunder, nothing bothers her. Nothing bothered Claire either, my other Bichon. I don't know. They're just tough little cookies and immune to noises like that. But then yesterday too, not sure if it rained or if it just rained pretty much overnight. And then everything is still soaking wet. I think it must have rained last night sometime during the night. But the coolest thing that happened was this morning when we went for a walk. It was foggy, and we rarely have fog here in Denver, but it was really a thick fog, and it was surreal, and just the most wonderful feeling of being out, because we were out about 6 a.m. We left the house about 6 a.m., so I think we saw two other people out walking, maybe three, but it was just the most amazing feeling. Really, really cool. What a great way to end that episode. But it's kind of like we flipped April and May. You know, April showers bring May flowers. Well, April was hot and sunny and not much water. But boy, this month is, I would say, almost made up for it, because we've had a lot of moisture and cooler days. And last week, the weather's just been, to me, the weather's been wonderful, because it's been like in the 70s, early 60s, higher 60s, I should say, and 70s, which has been just perfect. I love that. But now finally, and it only happened about an hour ago, the sun came out. And that feels really nice too, because I know whatever got an overload of water needs sun now. So anyway, it's just been an amazing few days. But I have a funny story. I want to start with a really funny story. That over the past 3 weeks, I've been doing this big garden project. And, you know, really, actually, if you looked at it, not being me, it wasn't a really big project. But it was big because I did it all myself. And I'll talk more in the teaching segment about what I learned, because, boy, there were just many, many realizations that I had just doing that whole project, you know, during each step and each segment of it, because it was really something. It was really, really something. And aside from, you know, the gardening, I also got my patios together and cleaned the furniture and put up the umbrellas and a new pergola cover and even assembled a new little set of furniture. So I'm really proud of that. I feel really good about doing that. And I'm really, really happy with the way that they look. And Scott, you know, my nephew-in-law, came over and helped me with the pergola cover. And I have a metal pergola, 10 by 10 metal pergola with a cloth cover that, you know, retracts and expands. And I could not figure out how to get the old cover off and put on the new one. I couldn't figure it out. And it was really bugging me. I mean, I really kind of became obsessed with it, you know, because I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go do this now. But that pergola cover was just driving me nuts. Because, you know, I Google everything. If a plant that's been doing great for years all of a sudden isn't doing great, I Google it and find out that over all the years I've had it, I didn't do it right. But it was okay until now. So anyway, I Googled this pergola cover. I YouTubed it. I went to the vendor's website. I watched the assembly video. And when it got to the cover, it showed how to assemble the poles that the cover hangs on, or hangs from, I should say. But then at the end, it just has this little happy music that shows the cover going up. You know, like, doot, 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 cover's on. But not how the fabric got on the rods, how you do that. And it's not rocket science. And I know it's not rocket science. But I'd asked Scott if he would come help me with it, because it's just not a one-man job. And it's certainly not a short woman job. So anyway, before he got here, I just thought, what the heck? I took off the end caps from the poles and yanked on the poles, which I discovered came apart in the middle. So they look like they're 10-foot poles, which they are, but they are 2 5-foot poles that slide into each other in the middle. And then the cover is this 10-foot, 10 by 10, well, actually bigger than that because it hangs over on the sides, piece of fabric with, I can't explain it. It's like if you have a curtain and it just slides onto a curtain rod, you know, like an old, like you would put on a door or something. There's these pockets, so to speak, that those holes go to, but the pockets don't go all the way through, so that the poles meet in the middle and they attach, and there's another hanger thing on the pergola. I know you can, I know you're really following this description, but but anyway, so the cover slides over the poles like a curtain rod, and then they meet in the middle. So anyway, I understood how it worked by the time he got here. And so he and I were putting it up. And the funny thing is that this was on a Friday evening. And the day before, the radio show hosts and Mark and Serena had a meeting. We all had a meeting to get familiar with YouTube and familiar with live streaming. And it was so interesting, and I was excited about it. And I was telling Scott before we started that I could not find any information to show me how this worked. So I just kind of, you know, yanked the poles out, and it became self-evident because I couldn't see the top of it. But anyway, we started to do it, and I said, you know, we should YouTube ourselves putting the cover up because you can't find instructions anywhere. And just as I said that, we figured out that we started hanging the fabric at the wrong end of the pergola. And we both just started laughing. You know, we just started laughing. And I said, okay, well, probably it was a good thing we weren't YouTubing ourselves. And then Scott said, well, we could have. And we could have said that we were showing how it is possible to do it really wrong so that other people didn't make the same mistake. But it was such a funny, like Laurel and Hardy kind of moment. and we eventually got it done, and it just looks perfect out there, and I'm so happy with it. But it was really worth it. It was a good laugh on top of it. But he helped me with that, and he also carried the soil from the front to the back, the bags of soil, which were really heavy, to the back beds. But aside from that, and he helped me uncover a piece of furniture and got one of the umbrellas out of the shed and put it up. Aside from that, I did all the rest of it myself. And And like I said, I'm going to talk more about the lessons that I learned during, but it's just been a great, it's been a great experience. It's just been a really great experience. But anyway, if you have a pergola cover that you want to put up, email me. I can tell you how to do it. So thank you again for listening today. If you can, please join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. Feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment in the chat room, and I will answer them after the show. If you'd like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning, Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'll be notified immediately and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule. We have reduced rates a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. If you want to be notified of our specials, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And all that entails is you leaving your email address. Then you don't miss out on anything. You know all that we're doing whenever we're doing it. I still have until for about another month my Welcome Spring 15-minute time-based session available. And, you know, spring is springing bigger and bigger and bigger every day. It's just amazing. So the whole idea of this session is to take advantage of that. You know, get things out of your way that might limit your ability to make the use of, to make the most use, I should say, or the best use of the momentum of this season. You know, to release limitations, to just get rid of baggage, get rid of stuff that's hanging out in your space that's not yours. You know, if it doesn't feel good, it doesn't belong to you. That's the truth of it. It doesn't. It's error. And nothing that doesn't feel good, no limiting belief, no fear, no worry, no doubt, it has any power at all. It's just error. And the only power anything has is what we give it through our belief about it. You know, if our acceptance of it, then we do empower it. But in and of itself, nothing outside of God, Source, has any power whatsoever. So the more we let go of the stuff that's in our way, the more we get in touch with that infinite self that is us, that is all power, all life, and most of all love. So that's the purpose of that session, and it's a good session. And I just always want to remind you of the gratitude board on 12listen.com. You just go to our site, 12listen.com, post what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or not. The advisors of 12listen will add our intention to yours, and you can post anonymously. So why not? It's a way that we can support you. So I encourage you to do it. And I want to thank you again for listening today and however and whenever you do. There is programming 24/7 on 12radio, and there are archives of all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section of 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 12radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and most of all, support. So again, I encourage you to take advantage. And right now, I just want to thank Serena for producing the show today and all that she does for us on 12radio, which is a lot. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called Two Sides of One Kind by Patash Patochka. It's from the World Groove Mix CD and Sequoia Records. So enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. I'm glad that you're here. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You're listening to Empowerment here on 12radio. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I love that music. That's a great piece of music. It's lively and I don't know, it's just uplifting, I think. So I hope you liked it as well. So I don't really know what to call the topic of this teaching segment, so I'm just going to start. I've got some great stuff to share with you. I guess because of the law, you know, the universal laws of interdependence and cause and effect, I think that everything we do is a circle. So I guess I could call it circles. We'll call the topic circles. The word karma means something done. Action means action. But the thing that's done is never just a thing that's done because of cause and effect. So everything impacts something else. And that something else impacts something else. And on it goes. It just keeps going. So in considering action and the resulting circles, just thinking about it and just kind of being open for whatever, you know, whatever God had to show me, a few really good things showed up that I have to share with you. And the first thing is part of an essay on the Bhagavad Gita called The Gita and War. This is from the translation by Swami Prabhavananda and Christopher Isherwood. And this is, this translation is like it's a student edition that my mother gave me, who knows how long ago, 40 years ago maybe, when she was cleaning out her bookshelf. And it's just I love this translation of the Gita because it's just, I don't know, it's kind of like your first experience, you know, with a topic. I've read several translations of the Tao Te Ching and several translations of the Gita, and it just is my favorite. It just kind of has a place in my heart, I guess. But in this essay, when they're talking about the Gita and war, he wrote, in the purely physical sphere of action, Arjuna is indeed no longer a free agent. And just a really fast, sketchy background on the Gita. Arjuna is a warrior. And Krishna, Lord Krishna, is his charioteer. And Arjuna, this big war that's come about. And Arjuna has to fight and defeat an enemy that are his relatives. So I heard, I can't remember who said it. The Bhagavad Gita is actually, it can be broken down to a conversation. It's all a conversation between Arjuna and Krishna. But it can be broken down to a conversation between our God self and our human self. So that's a sketchy background, but it's worth reading if you've not read it. Anyway, in the purely physical sphere of action, Arjuna is indeed no longer a free agent. The act of war is upon him. It has evolved out of his previous actions. At any given moment in time, we are what we are, and we have to accept the consequences of being ourselves. Only through this acceptance can we begin to evolve further. We may select the battleground. We cannot avoid the battle. Arjuna is bound to act, but he is still free to make his choice between two different ways of performing the action. In general, mankind almost always acts with attachment, that is to say, with fear and desire. Desire for a certain result and fear that this result will not be obtained. Attached action binds us to the world of appearances, to the continual doing of more action. But there's another way of performing action, and this is without fear and without desire. The Christians call it holy, H-O-L-Y, indifference, and the Hindus, non-attachment. Both names are slightly misleading. They suggest coldness and lack of enthusiasm. That's why people often confuse non-attachment with fatalism, when actually they are opposites. The fatalist simply does not care. He'll get what's coming to him. Why make any effort? But the doer of non-attached action is the most conscientious of men. Freed from fear and desire, he offers everything he does as a sacrament of devotion to his duty. All work becomes equally and vitally important. It is only toward the results of work, success or failure, praise or blame, that he remains indifferent. When action is done in this spirit, Krishna teaches, it will lead us to the knowledge of what is behind action, behind all life, the ultimate reality. And with the growth of this knowledge, the need for further action will gradually fall away from us. We shall realize our true nature, which is God. Ah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And it's in the chapter called Karma Yoga in the Gita, where Krishna talks about, you know, dedicating everything that we do to Arjuna, dedicating everything that he does, all the actions, everything to him, to Krishna, to the Brahman. And that's also where sacrifice comes in. But it is sacrifice. Now I'm big on sacrificing everything that comes up that doesn't feel good, right? That's not ours. It's not ours to keep, but, you know, surrendering everything back to that which lives us, the universal mind, the God mind that meets every demand. But sacrifice also is done as a giving, not just, and I'm just going to make, this is my truth, my description, not just a getting rid of something in order to have more space for, you know, to be on track, but to sacrifice what you do to source, to life, to whatever, to all that is. It's a different, man, if I can put this into words, I'll be doing great. It is, you are giving back that which you have been given to the giver of that which you've been given. So, the work that you're to do was given you by Source. The ability to do the work is Source acting through you. And sacrificing it back just expands it. And also makes us more conscious that we are simply the inlet and outlet of that thing to be done. The inlet and outlet of grace, infinite divine wisdom, infinite divine love, infinite supply, whatever we need, whatever needs to happen to get that thing done. We are the inlet and outlet, the instrument of its appearing. So I love that. That's a realization. Part of my gardening realization. Chopra, in the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, wrote, "The seventh spiritual law of success is the law of Dharma. Dharma is a Sanskrit word that means purpose in life. The law of Dharma says that we have taken manifestation in physical form to fulfill a purpose. The field of pure potentiality is divinity in its essence, and the divine takes form to fulfill a purpose. There are three components to the law of Dharma. The first component says that each of us is here to discover our true self, capital S, to find out on our own that our true self is spiritual. That essentially, we are spiritual beings that have taken manifestation in physical form. We are not human beings having occasional spiritual experiences. It's the other way around. We are spiritual beings that have occasional human experiences. Each of us is here to discover our higher self or our spiritual self. That is the first fulfillment of the law of Dharma. We must find out for ourselves that inside us is a god or goddess, an embryo that was to be born so that we can express our divinity. The second component of the law of Dharma is to express our unique talents. The law of Dharma says that every human being has a unique talent. You have a talent that is unique in its expression, so unique that there's no one else alive on this planet that has that talent or that expression of that talent. This means there's one thing you can do and one way of doing it that is better than anyone else on this entire planet. When you're doing that one thing, you lose track of time. When you're expressing that one unique talent that you possess, or more than one unique talent in many cases, the expression of that talent takes you into timeless awareness. The third component of the law of Dharma is service to humanity. To serve your fellow human beings and to ask yourself the questions, how can I help? How can I help all those that I come into contact with? When you combine the ability to express your unique talent with service to humanity, then you make full use of the law of Dharma. And coupled with the experience of your own spirituality, the field of pure potentiality, which is your own spirituality, which is source, which is your divinity, there is no way you'll not have access to unlimited abundance. That's the real way abundance is achieved. This is not a temporary abundance. It's permanent. Because of your unique talent, your way of expressing it, and your service and dedication to your fellow human beings, which you discover through asking the question, how can I help, instead of what's in it for me? As Joel would say, the formula for successful living is to serve. When Chopra wrote in the second component, that the expression of that talent, the expression of your ability, and you know, there is no duplicate. There are no duplicates. There never has been a duplicate. God would never duplicate himself. Why would he? Why would life? Life never duplicates itself. There are no duplicates of anything. No one can do what you do. There may be a million people who do what you do, but they can't do it the way you do it. I mean, that's it. As Stuart Weil would say, and I've given this example a million times, he said, you may live in a village where every other person is a potter, and so are you, but nobody creates a pot the way you do. Nobody creates a pot the way your neighbor does. I mean, it's just because it's us. And what we do when we express our talent, when we express our abilities, when we just do something, which I think is the same thing, that we love to do, then we are feeding into that thing, that love and that attention and that focus, which is God, you know, and attention is love, no matter what it's focused on, whether it's focused on something good or not so good. Love grows what it's focused on. Attention grows what it's focused on. But when you are doing something and you're so in it that you're in your bliss, right? You're in your bliss. And when you are in your bliss, time stands still. And that's another thing that popped into my head. Stuart Weil said that, you know, if time seems to be moving really rapidly, like you're trying to get stuff done and you don't have enough time, and oh no, I only have this much time left, you're out of your connection. You know, you're not in flow. You're not. You're trying to get things done and you're forcing, you're pushing. But when you're in flow, it's like time slows down. And he said, when time seems to be moving slow, that's when you're in flow. That's when you're in it. And that's just something to kind of think about. It makes a lot of sense. And it came into my head, so I had to say it. But timeless awareness, as Chopra said, is bliss. And time does stand still when you're engrossed in doing something that you love. It does. But whatever you love and whatever you do, no one else can do the same way you do. And two, like going back to like the potter or whatever you do, your talent, your ability, you know, you're filling a space that only you can fill in this experience, in this life, in this eternal life. You are filling a place that only you can fill. And we draw to ourselves our own. And we draw to ourselves our own, the people that come to us for our work, for what we do, as friends. I mean, it's all, my conscious oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being, idea, and thing. It's a circle. That's a circle. And what we need is drawn to us when we need it. And if that's people, it's people who can have what we are giving and want to evolve. And that's that interdependence, right? That's that interdependence. If, you know, and it goes both ways. You know, they're not interdependence on us to give to them, to express our talent for someone else to enjoy, but it's when you're expressing your talent, when you're giving, there's someone there that can have it. That's the circle. That's interdependence. And that's beautiful. But talking about work, Khalil Gibran in The Prophet wrote, when you work, you are a flute through whose heart the whispering of the hours turns to music. And what is it to work with love? It is to weave the cloth with threads drawn from your heart, even as if your beloved were to wear that cloth. Isn't that beautiful? That's a perfect description of bliss. You know, when you're doing what you love, when you're in it, when you can feel that creativity and that love flowing through your arms and out through your hands or however you work, you know, through your voice, through your words, whatever you do, through massage, through helping someone, through healing someone. Or what, or through being a mother and mothering your child. No one else can do what you do the way you do it. No one. No one. And that brings me to my yard. So when I started my gardening project, I had a lot to get done. And in the past, I would usually do yard work on Saturday mornings and just power through as much as I possibly could. And I did that for years. In fact, every year up until now. And as much as I enjoyed it, which I did enjoy being out there, it was more like a chore because I had to do as much as possible. It had hard edges to it, right? I need to get this done. It has to look better. I got to do it today. And I'm going to stay out here as long as I possibly can and do it. And that is not very, in the long run, very enjoyable. It just isn't. And really and truly, in the long run, I was cheating myself because it really is a pleasure to go out and work in the yard and plant seeds and pull weeds and do whatever it is. I took the joy out of it because I was so on a schedule, and I've all, you know, that's me. I'm very organized, and I like to do things in order, and I like to get things done, and I stick to it when I start something, and that's just great sometimes, but not always, you know, not always. And I think what another big lesson, a big realization is that I can do more than one thing. You know, like I can garden and I can then go in and be online for the rest of the day into the evening. You know, it's like it takes the either or aspect out of it. And I don't know if that makes any sense, but that was a big part of it. So this year, somehow I was just inspired to do it during the week and do it in the early mornings, which I always at least started in the early morning, and just work for 2 hours. Give myself 2 hours. And I realized it is quiet and peaceful after everyone's gone to work. And setting a timer for 2 hours was absolutely perfect because I accomplished what I could in that period of time, put my tools away, went in, took a shower, got ready, and got online for calls. And it was all very harmonious. It just worked harmoniously. And interestingly enough, even though working for a short period of time and having a big project, I felt a sense of accomplishment because in that period of time, I did what I could do. And I was also detached. So what was left to do would be done the next day, or would at least be worked on the next day. And this was massive projects, massive progress, I should say, in the way I looked at this. And I also, I think this year, decided not to take the success or lack of success of what I planted personally. And that's a big deal for me. That's a big deal. So I was able to just be there when I was there and enjoy it completely. And it took almost 3 weeks to get it all done. But aside from Scott's help with the pergola and the stuff that I mentioned earlier, I did it myself. And that felt just wonderful. And, you know, it was hard work and I felt it in my body, but it was so rewarding. You know, and I have always, always loved to do physical work because you see the result of your efforts. That to me is fantastic. And this project made me feel like I'm getting back to myself. And I really like that. You know, just doing what needs to be done, figuring it out. If there's absolutely something I cannot do, I can ask for help. But I can do it for the most part on my own. And I did, you know, and I had the time and attention to devote to it. And I got the most out of it because I broke it up into those smaller segments. And while I was doing it, I was totally in it. I was totally in it. I was in my bliss. And I just enjoyed it. When my timer went off to go in, I was like, oh, but I didn't push it. And then, of course, there were a couple of days where I just had to work a little longer because I needed to get the bulbs and the seeds planted after I got the beds put together. But it just ended up being a very balanced and productive way to work the whole thing. You know, working in the yard and having kind of a little bit of a high from accomplishing something. And then going in and being online for calls, it was harmonious. It just worked. It's hard to explain, but it worked really well. So the big stuff is done now. It's the beds are planted and now it's maintenance. You know, now it's time to go back out and start over. Here's my circle. Start over in the front, pulling weeds, getting more stuff done out there in the established beds. And then waiting to see what's going to grow in the beds that I planted. And it's a fun experiment. You know, that's the other thing. I'm looking at it as an experiment. I have a good friend who's an avid gardener. And she told me that's what gardening is, an experiment. So have that. Boy, that's permission, isn't it? To realize it's an experiment and it's going to go the way it's going to go. It's life. Life goes the way it goes. But that was also permission, again, to just take a step back. I enjoy doing the work, and then I gave it away to all that is. And I keep giving it away so that I can be the observer, the neutral observer, and unattached to the outcome. My biggest realization, though, this was it, and it just kept coming, you know, while I was working. My biggest realization was that every aspect of that project, from the inspiration to do it, the ideas of how to do it, and the materials to do it with, including every grain of soil, every seed, every detail, was not only given to me by God, but was God. Everything. God is everything. Tat Tvam Asi, that art thou. That, capital THAT, bold letters, being another name for God, for source, for all that is. Eknath Eshwaran wrote, this tremendous equation, the self is Brahman, is the central discovery of the Upanishads. It's the most famous formulation. Its most famous formulation is Tat Tvam Asi. You are that. That, quote unquote, is the characteristic way the Upanishads point to a reality that cannot be described. God. And you, of course, is not the petty, finite personality, but that pure consciousness which makes the eye see and the mind think. The self, capital S. So that, and I've just been meditating on that. Like I said, capital letters bold. That covers everything. Think about it. How many times in a day do we use that word? That word. It covers everything. I am that. So when you're, you know, when you're working on something and you need an idea, I am that. And in saying that, it opens up. It's the only way I can say it. Consciousness opens up. That's how I experience it. I am that. What is it that you need? What is it that you want? What is it that you have to do? I am that. Whatever it is. Whatever I need to include the topic and source materials for a teaching segment like this one, or how to do something, or to find something, solutions to problems, whatever. I am that. And that is supply. It's supply. I can't tell you. I mean, example after example of things showing up for me, what I needed. And the idea to do it was God just wanting to make a garden. Was God wanting to put together raised beds and fill them with dirt and put in bulbs and seeds and, you know, make and just have the joy of doing that. God is the creator and the enjoyer. We're simply the instruments through which God creates and enjoys. That's not us, but that, the infinite self that I am, is all that is. And, you know, in just pondering that, thinking about that, makes me realize that there really truly is not one grain of sand out of place on this earth. Everything that's happened, and this took me back, this kind of unfolded, made me realize that everything that's happened in my life was just the flow of life. Every mistake I thought I made, everything I thought I could have done better, was just the flow of life. And because we are all interdependent, we are all learning from each other. As Alan Watts says, I don't know who I am without knowing who you are. I didn't know what I needed for my evolution. I still don't. How would I? And I certainly didn't know what other people in my life needed for theirs. And I still don't. We're all evolving because of each other and because of the situations and circumstances of life, which we are creating through cause and effect. It is all a circle that is propelling us forward if we can have it. If we can't have it and we fight it, we suffer. Because life is never going to cease being life. Everything that's happened in our lives has brought us to this moment. So don't dwell on the past. Don't judge it. Just have it and be here now, determined to be simply the inlet and outlet of grace. You know, divine wisdom, divine love, divine supply, that art thou. Just go along with it, and it will inform every moment of your day. It really will. Every moment of your day. And as silly as it sounds, pulling weeds and planting seeds was a wonderful opportunity for expansion. It just made me realize once again, nothing is small or irrelevant. Nothing. Nothing. Everything that comes into our lives is for us if we pay attention. So, on that note, thank you for listening today. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You've been listening to Empowerment here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Have a very blessed week. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.